gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Ryan McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, a lot of big names, a lot of big hitters fell in the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 of the men's tournament. Surefire Final Four teams, considering how everything else broke down. Everybody said Kentucky had the easiest road to the Final Four.
No.
And Kansas State put a halt to that in the Sweet 16, beating them 61-58. But Kansas State wouldn't last very much longer as they would get to the Elite Eight game a couple days later and run into Sister Jean and the Ramblers of Loyola Chicago. Still
Sister
on their
Jean
match.
Is not part of the team. This is not Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Go ahead.
Sister Jean is a part of the team. Anytime she's around there in her wheelchair and she has her head on backwards and she's got her one finger in the air, she's a part of this.
Okay.
And you're not gonna look, you're not gonna tell me all the TV companies any different. But yeah, Loyola Chicago.
They gotta find something.
All right. Loyola Chicago makes their first Final Four appearance since 1963. Let's see. Down in the West region, pretty much went as chalk. Well, Gonzaga was upset by Florida State. I guess that would be the biggest upset in the Sweet 16 Elite 8 portion of it. Michigan went over Texas A&M and then beat Florida State in the Elite 8. 58-54, so Michigan makes it to their first Final Four since 1993. And is the statute of limitations up? Do they consider that a thing now? Because for a while they weren't talking about their 93.
That's some foolishness.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, they talked about it on TV, but you know, TV likes to talk about the Fab Five as much as they can. So,
yeah, I don't know what the NCAA be doing when they be doing some of these regulations on people, but whatever.
Out of the Midwest, this was the basically, you know, the came down to the two big hitters in Kansas and Duke, and that was one of the most entertaining games we've had so far this tournament. Yesterday,
indeed.
It was back and forth. Malik Newman had a career high 32 points for Kansas as they won 85-81 and moved on to the Final Four. And in the East, for the last Final Four team, Texas Tech and Villanova. And Villanova went over there 71-59. Villanova, as much as I wanted to have them out early in my bracket, and wish I did have them out going out early, they have a bunch of shooters, and when their shooters are hot, they play well, and they have played well so far this tournament, every game. So, what interesting to see, you know, if that keeps traveling all the way to San Antonio. But for now, you got Villanova versus Kansas, and Michigan and Loyola Chicago. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm rolling with the Ramblers.
I knew that. I said that before we started, so I could get on work. That Brian gonna say they're going all the way.
I'm riding this train to the wheel fall off.
Well, I think they'll beat Michigan just because Michigan can't score. They had all these droughts and struggle to score. But they not gonna beat Villanova. Kansas one now. I'm going with Villanova. But Kansas playing well, so I don't really care. And the only reason I picked Duke was because I hadn't seen Kansas. The last time I saw Kansas, they didn't look as nice and clean and polished as they do now.
Right.
Like, they weren't playing as well in the regular season. according to the journalists that watch this more than I do, they just Malik in particular started playing well when the tournament started for their conference.
Yeah, he's been on
the
road.
I'm glad because we were talking about how I was saying how he didn't live up. That's who I thought I would see. Like, I guess more consistently. And maybe if he stay and don't go to the league, he'll play like that more consistently. Because the games I saw, I was like, he out here jacking up shots, making bad choices, but he been playing better, so maybe he rounding out right now. Dude. You know, he played real well.
Yeah.
I would have never thought he would be the first Mississippi or the Mississippi kid to go to Kansas. That was strange, but okay. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it. I know.
Yeah.
I know about probably about a decade or so ago now. Seems like yesterday, but about a decade or so ago, Byron Sanders from Harrison Central down here on the coast went to North Carolina, and you know, everybody made a big deal out of that. And you know, he wound up just kind of being a role player there. But yeah,
I was saying that he was the first Mississippi kid to go there. I was like, interesting.
Yeah, I guess that never crossed my mind, but it would make sense, I guess.
Yeah, that's a long way from home. They probably not recruiting in Mississippi much.
Right. But moving on to the women's side of things, their Final Four is incomplete as they will finish up the last two Elite Eight games tonight. But so far, let's see, just a couple of notable games from the Sweet 16. I was shocked. I did not watch the Friday slate of games. I was off at the Mississippi High School North-South All-Star game. So I was busy up there watching that. So I didn't catch the Friday game. I was just kind of following them on the ESPN app. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that Oregon State beat Baylor. Now, Oregon State is a very good team. I did not think they were going to beat Baylor. I thought Baylor's size would do them in with Kehlani Brown and the like. But, yeah, they upset Baylor and then were promptly dismissed yesterday by by Louisville. Just, you know, as much as I thought Baylor's size would kill Oregon State, it proved to be the opposite. It was the guard play of Louisville that just was too much for them. But so Louisville was our first.
So Louisville rolling.
Yeah, Louisville's on a roll. That's our first entrant into the Final Four for the women, and up in the Kansas City region, Mississippi State and NC State. I heard was a very good game in the Sweet 16. I thought it would be. Then UCLA upset Texas, 84-75. So they met in the Elite Eight yesterday, and Mississippi State, although they didn't play particularly great. Just kind of a sloppy game. They wound up taking it 89-73. So they're making their second straight trip to the Final Four. Tonight's slate, we got Connecticut and South Carolina. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Connecticut, UConn is South Carolina playing in the Albany region. And in the Spokane region is Notre Dame and Oregon, which should be two outstanding games. UConn, hopefully, you know.
I don't know what an outstanding is. UConn, South Carolina gonna crumble like they always do against UConn. I'm on record as saying the only reason South Carolina have a national championship right now is because Mississippi State upset UConn. Thank you and good night.
Look, I was gonna add something, but I was just like, you know what? Yeah, I can't say anything to that because it was the truth.
I'm sorry, broke up your thought.
No, I think that, you know, this UConn has yet to be challenged, truthfully, in the tournament.
They're not gonna be. All they're gonna do is shut down the big girl, and then South Carolina gonna act like they don't know what to do.
Yeah, if they can't throw it inside to Asia Wilson.
Yeah, if Asia can't touch it, they're gonna lose their mind. She'll get her touches, but she don't seem to. And I ain't watched enough. I don't see several games. She don't seem to work. Like if she not in it offensively, like if. She ain't the person that's gonna go get no rebounds and get herself in the game, but yeah, they gonna double her. Like who is that I was watching? Like It was an SEC game. Missouri?
Probably.
They crowded her so much. Uh-huh. And they got bigger people than Missouri in the post. Yeah. Good luck.
Well, I think this, the Spokane regional final with Notre Dame and Oregon should be interesting.
That should be fun.
Oregon can just flat out score. I mean, they just have scores just about at every position. And Notre Dame, who was the number one seed and has been doing well all year long, you know, when will all the injuries they've had eventually bite them?
Well, I just want to see if I want them to win because I want to see if the Nike going to get them really something fresh and funky to wear like they do the boys every time they be winning.
Oh, yeah. So Oregon make it to the Final Four. They get them some nice little dreads. Yeah, so the women's tournament is a lot more, you know, big time upsets than there have been. Usually, women's tournament you can pretty much go through and pick chalk all the way through to the Final Four, and you'd be just about correct. But you know, with people like Baylor losing, and let's see, like Texas, I think Texas pretty much everybody had going deep. It's gonna be interesting to see how that rolls out. But tonight they'll finish that up.
Who we gonna do after this?
Huh?
Who we gonna do with the NCAA tournament?
Get ready for the NBA playoffs, I suppose.
Okay, go ahead.
speaking of the NBA, thank you for the transition.
Thank you. I try to do what I can do when I can do it.
Bleacher Report came out with an article over the last week, kind of previewing free agency for this summer, ranking the top five players at each position. I'll just kind of roll through each position's top five, and then, you know, you and I can kind of give our thoughts. So let's see, point guard. They have number five point guard is Fred VanVleet, the backup point guard for the Toronto Raptors. Doesn't have real gaudy stats, but if anybody plays NBA 2K out there, you know that he's one of those people that, like, if you do a season where you can do a fantasy draft to start the year, he's one of those guys you get in the late rounds, winds up being one of your best players because, nobody's really going after him. The computer just kind of lets him sit there, and you get him at about the 11th or 12th round, and he winds up being, you know, one of your top scorers, one of your top players, so... And I'm not saying that. I just know that if he wasn't playing behind Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, I think he would be, you know, a bigger...
Yeah, better number.
I think he would be able to see some bigger numbers, a lot more contribution from him. So it'd be interesting to see where and if he lands anywhere different next year. Number four... is Elfrid Payton, formerly of the Orlando Magic, was traded the deadline to Phoenix. Just one of those that just has not lived up to his ability. Everybody thought he would be. But still, only 24 years old. Just loads of potential. Just want get with someone, get somewhere maybe they can just bring it out in him. I think great spot for him. And it all depends on who they hire. If the Knicks actually do get rid of Jeff Hornacek and they hire like Martin Jackson, which is a rumor out there, I think he would be a great person to have Peyton under his wing.
Y'all don't want that team. I know he's a New Yorker, but goodness, they all.
let's see, the number three point guard, Marcus Smart. And they list him on here as a point guard, but he's really more of a shooting guard. But still... He plays both positions, I guess, for the Boston Celtics.
Is he not hurt?
He's been hurt on and off, yeah. But again, another only 24 years old. Just a big-time defensive stopper. Can guard the one and the two. Just be interesting to see if anybody takes a chance on giving him a big contract. And speaking of taking chances in big contracts, the number two point guard, Isaiah Thomas of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, Lord, I hate to have to say that together. Go ahead.
traded by Cleveland out to LA at the deadline. Just has really, really, kind of been off and on since coming back from his injury. Has played better with the Lakers here down the stretch. Just, I don't know if people are going to use him being so small and all that against him. And he for me, he, I don't know, he just doesn't seem as quick. And seems like
he looks like he's chunkier at the bottom, face down.
Right.
And that might be because he couldn't rehab fully and get lean. But yeah, he don't jump. He don't seem to be as, I mean, he got to jump, you know, because he's so short. But he don't seem to bounce as high when he's jumping on a little jump shot. But go ahead. I'm
sorry. Oh, no. You're fine. and the number one point guard on the list is the Rockets' Chris Paul. Who, it's rumors on top of rumors that the Banana Boat Crew eventually gonna try and get together. Still,
they talk
and be old.
They better get together this summer, like they've been doing.
It'll be LeBron.
Play together, Drew Lee. How about that?
It'll be LeBron and three old guys.
go play together in the Drew Lee. Ain't nobody trying. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But no, Chris Paul turns 33 in May, and he's done well this year playing alongside James Harden. And I mean, they're number one team in the league right now as far as record wise. And with Golden State being as supposedly injured as they are, they could sneak up and get past them and make it to the finals. I really don't see. I think if they make a deep run, I think he'll stay right there in Houston. I think he has a good thing
there. They can give him, he took less money. He already out of that $200 million thing. Okay, go ahead.
All right, he messed himself up to get out of L.A.
All right.
But let's see. Moving right along to the shooting guards. Number five shooting guard, we have Rodney Hood, Mississippi native out of Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, did you have to throw that in there?
I did, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
has been playing well since he came to Cleveland. Comes off the bench, but is one of their, you know, I mean, he's a scorer, so he's not going to have any problem scoring wherever he is. I think if LeBron stays, I think he's more likely to take whatever contract he can get to stay in Cleveland, because I think he's a player that will play well alongside of LeBron James.
Yeah, you better get your money, baby.
Uh-huh. Number four, shooting guard. And I think I knew he was in Philadelphia, but I had not seen Philadelphia play hardly any this year. So, J.J. Redick of the Philadelphia 76ers.
He'll be doing nothing. He'll have one-off. He'll have a good game, and then we disappear for like 4 or 5. Then he'll bounce back. Because I feel like I pulled up their stats the other day, and he had like 6 points.
Well, I mean, he can only do so much. I mean, he's always been very limited as far as, you know.
They passing him the ball. And B, you know, he none of them are selfish.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know. 6 points, though, he hit with 2 shots. I suspect both of them was 3s.
Yeah, I think whatever contract he signs this year was going to be probably his last this, in the league.
Yeah, this is his last one, so he better make it good.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he does. I think I see him being like a Kyle Korver or a Mike Miller type role, or he's, you know, one of those that comes off the bench for somebody, gives them big.
Speaking of Kyle Korver, his brother died, but did you see his brother look just, they look just alike. At first, I didn't know he had a brother. But at first, I was like, it looks just alike. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Number three shooting guard, once again, another Los Angeles Laker, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought when they signed him, I thought that he would be someone that could really, really help the Lakers. And he has, stat-wise, he's done well. 25 years old. I'm sure he's going to try and get the max contract this summer.
We're not paying him no max, so he can squash that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not going to be in L.A.
You're going to have to get that somewhere else.
But,
it won't be in L.A. I can tell y'all that right now.
And at the number two shooting guard, we have Tyreek Evans from Memphis Grizzlies, who has played well in this tank mode that the Grizzlies are in here recently.
Yeah, they got to stop this.
But God bless him. He's 28 years old, but his body's about 45. It seems like he's always hurt. Something always happened. Even though he's had a stretch, let me knock on wood.
They're trying to take. They probably wanting to be hurt too.
Because he's, you know, he really has. Regardless of how the team is played, he's put up some nice numbers here. Obviously, trying to get that next contract. The number one shooting guard, Zach LaVine of the Chicago Bulls, who recently come off of a ACL injury from last year, averaging around 17 points a game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a couple blocks. Just an athletic freak. And as he's shown flashes of him being his slam dunk champion winning self here more recently in highlights. Just he missed a whole year of development rehabbing his knee, so it just he's gonna have to get somewhere where, you know, he can continue his development. Only 23 years old, but yeah, still a very athletic person, you know, athletic and someone that can really help out a team like that. Small forwards, number 5, Trevor Ariza with the Houston Rockets. 32 years old. He'll turn 33 this summer. Just been a real nice complimentary piece to James Harden and Chris Paul. And if they all stay intact, I think he should stay there. I think that's probably his best place right now. Let's see. Number 4 on the small forward list, Kyle Anderson of the San Antonio Spurs. If he goes anywhere else, he's a fool. Just because I just don't think he'll be able to do what he's doing in San Antonio under Pop in other places. I think he's a good player, but
in their system,
yeah, he's a system guy, and I think he needs to find a way to stay there. Especially if Kawhi leaves, he could get more minutes and, you know, a bigger role. The number 3 small forward, Paul George, Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma, the Thunder just, they go on a streak of winning some games. They look well. And then they have games where they just can't seem to get over the hump. I know they're trying really hard to woo him into staying. I still believe he's going to wind up being a Laker next year.
LA, going to purple, baby. Yeah,
so we'll see what happens with
come
him.
Come on back home, George, you're
oh. He's a number 2. Oh, okay. That's why. You can tell I hadn't looked at this list. I'm just going through it now. I hadn't really looked at it great.
Who's number 2?
Number 2 small forward, Kevin Durant, Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yeah. It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I believe he's going to stay put. Number 1, small forward, one LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Right now, it's All reports are got it down to L.A. and Cleveland. It's L.A. and Cleveland. That's the two it's down to. All depends on, you know, how the wind's blowing, on what people think he's going to do.
Wake up and say he's going to start his own team. There's no telling him.
Yeah, he's going to bring the Seattle Supersonics back.
Right.
What would your thoughts be on him joining your Lakers?
Well, I mean, is Paul George coming too? I need more information.
There's a report out there that Kawhi Leonard could be joining him.
Okay, now that'll just be too much for my spirit to take to have both of them, because if we didn't win it all, it would be Luke Longley or whoever the coach's fault.
Luke Walton.
Luke Longley, Walton, Bill Walton, who else? You know what I'm talking about. I don't know. It happens to us all time. And while everybody talking about him defying it, yeah, he's 33, but he been playing since he was 15. Okay, maybe not 15. Hopefully he'll be one of the people that don't get it. Like Magic had the groin injury to finish his career. Bird's back started acting up. COVID tore the Achilles. Michael had the whole, his knees weren't as good as they were at the beginning, but he had his injury early. Like, he just haven't had that injury, and I don't want him to get it when he come to play with us.
Right.
Other than that, I wouldn't mind having him.
But moving on to the big men, power forwards, number five.
I really would like Anthony Davis. I'm sorry, but he's not further than. Okay, go ahead.
Right. Number five power forward, Carmelo Anthony.
He need to retire.
Yeah, he's looking really, really old this year. And when he's not being able to be ball dominant, he almost looks obsolete out there on the floor. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
And that's part of coaching, I think. Because I know he's older, but when he played for the Olympic team, he was playing off the ball.
It was thriving.
It was productive.
Right.
So I don't know if it's whatever Billy Donovan up there running. I don't know if it's the point guard, because he liked to be ball dominant also. And you got Paul George. He getting in where he fit in. I mean, where is really Carmelo the third person? They ain't really looking for him.
Yeah.
But you can't be running out here missing two free throws at the end of the game either. When they lost the other night, who they get beat? Was he it? Missed two, and I feel like Westbrook missed one.
It seemed like it was Portland. Was it Portland?
Yes. I was like, wait a minute, you supposed to hit those. You're not Shaq.
Moving right along, number four power forward, Derek Favors of the Utah Jazz. This kid, I think, in a bigger market where he gets more TV exposure, he could be one of the stars in the league. He's real athletic, 26-year-old. Average double figures in points and close to double figures in rebounds. Has played well for the Jazz, but you know, nobody sees him. Jazz never on TV. So yeah.
That's what happened when you out there in Utah. It's gonna make it double bad when you in Utah, and it's the West Coast. So everybody sleep when they play.
This next one is interesting. Number three, power forward Jabari Parker for the Bucks.
He got bad knees. He damaged goods. Next, go on.
Yeah, but the boy is only 23 years old. And
he's only 23, Brian, and don't have two ACL injuries.
I know.
Will you make sure you add that?
I know. Yeah. I don't know. I think right there, if that core stays together, he needs to stay right there in Milwaukee. Because they got a nice little group together right there. Let's see, number two. What are your Lakers? It's all over the list. Julius Randle of the Los Angeles Lakers.
No, I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Another 23-year-old. He's played really, really productive since the All-Star break.
He's a bull in the China shop.
Yeah.
He needs to refine his skills until he can shoot. He needs to go practice with... Oh boy, in Houston. What's his name?
Hakeem.
No, the left-handed guy in Houston that's playing now. Harden. He needs to go practice with Harden because Harden can get to the basket and finish with his right. I'm yet to see him shoot a right-hand layup, shot, anything. He do all his best to get shoot his ball with his left hand, even if he on the right side of the basket. All
right. And the number one power forward is Aaron Gordon out of Orlando. Once again, if he's in a
better spot.
Right, but if he'd be better off if he wants the money to stay in Orlando because they can afford to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He may not ever win, but
get your checks, go down to Disney, make a deal with them to do something.
Right.
They got that sports complex down there still.
Yes.
Don't nobody really talk about it.
Yeah, the Wide World of Sports. But off to the centers, we got Jusuf Nurkic, the center for the Portland Trail Blazers. I thought he needs to stay right there. If those guards stay together, this is a place for him. He's only 23. I thought when they got him from Denver, that was a big move to trade Plumlee. And bring in him, he's a lot more polished than the Plumlee kid. And I couldn't tell you which Plumlee it is because there's so many of them. But yeah.
Okay, just two of them. Go ahead.
But, you know, he needs to stay right there in Portland. If that group stays together, that's where he needs to stay. Number four, DeAndre Jordan of the Clippers.
I think he leaves.
I did not realize he was 29 years old. I thought he was younger than that.
He probably was, and then he aged after all that fiasco of running around trying to hide from the Mavericks.
Yeah.
He probably aged about 3 years doing all that.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, he'll be out of there, just a matter of hope where he's going. Number three, Clint Capella of the Houston Rockets. Another situation where he probably needs to stay where he is if that group stays together. He's averaging double figures in points and rebounds. And it's just a
weird,
I don't know. It depends on what kind of you know, player he wants to be. If he wants to be a big time money player, he going somewhere else. He ain't gonna be able to afford him in Houston. But Daryl Morey, the GM there, he's worked some wonders. So we can see what he can do with this. Number two, and this is DeMarcus Cousins, New Orleans Pelicans.
It's so sad he told it. We would be going after him if he hadn't hurt himself.
Yeah. Well, big man coming back from Achilles injury, that's tough.
Well, thank you. You don't have, he and I don't athlete. Like, he ain't jumping over people or blowing by nobody. He still uses his brute strength. He can still shoot his threes. He can still tiptoe dunk. He'll be fine.
And number one center out of Denver is Nikolai Jokic, 23 years old. It'd be a solid piece for anyone to pick up. I think Denver probably gonna try and keep him. And for what it's worth, the foreigners seem to be very loyal. I mean, Dirk is no one example of that. He stayed in Dallas through the ups and the low downs. So be interesting. I don't know. I can see him in Lakers, purple and gold. I think he'll be a nice piece if they're able to land like LeBron and people like that. Oh yeah.
We ain't gonna be in the corner, man.
Y'all need somebody who will come in for pennies on the dollar and produce. But this next segment I want to do, I had sent you an email about it late in the week. Movies that
before we move to movies.
Okay.
Do we think that Stephon Curry is the injury bug just about to be too much for him to overcome?
I don't know. I saw when Steve Kerr said that he was going to be out at least through the first round, which is not uncommon for them. Didn't they sit, I think it was Durant last year?
Somebody did was out and they made it through, but I'm not talking about, I don't care. I don't want the Warriors or the Cleveland to win. I don't really care who win other than that. But his ankles, you know, the hip bone connected to the knee bone and...
I know, like,
he's running up his leg. Like, this is bad.
If that knee winds up being a perennial problem, JaVale McGee better watch his back.
So sad. All right, go ahead.
So, yeah, movies that were that are appreciated well after their time. And I mean, like, you know, it can be anything. It can be movies that opened up to bad reviews. It can be, you know, movies that just people just dogged when they first came out, and you know, years later they become cult hits. And the reason I say this, and the reason I even got this idea started, I was watching Bernie Mac's Mr. 3000, and I remember when that movie came out, people just dogged it and acted like it was one of the worst films ever. It was about an aging, older baseball player who finds out he did not get 3,000 hits, which he originally thought he did. After a clerical error, it was discovered he was 3 hits shy, and he has to come back. And to understand this, he's a you know, just a real egotistical guy, and he quit literally the game. He got his 3,000 hit. He quit in the middle of the season, and you know, just started living off Mr. 3000. It was 3000 beats, 3000 sports bar. It was 3000 car salesman. I mean, it was everything. You know, he had commercials. And so when it comes out that he was three hits shy, he has to come, you know, he gets a chance to come back and try to get those three hits. And the story, it was a really good story. It was very well written. It was the actors, him and Angela Bassett and people mm-hmm. like that, they did it very well. And so I was thinking about that. I said, you know, I bet there's some other movies out there and that, you know, that maybe didn't get the greatest reviews when they were first out, but now are big time classics. And I found a couple more, and I'll just list them here for you. Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts and Richard Gere, was slammed by critics when it first came out, and is now, you know, one of the biggest movies ever. I mean, people talk about how great it is. Caddyshack in 1980, they had Bill Murray and Rodney Dangerfield and Chevy Chase. I mean, they had a bunch of big time actors, and it was slammed when it first came out, but now it's considered a classic. Let's see. The Shining with Stephen King's, a movie based off his novel, was just reading the reviews on it just was terrible when they were first out, and now it's one of the biggest cult classics ever. Footloose, another one, and they've even made a remake of it with Kevin Bacon.
We gotta start with these remakes. Go ahead.
But do you have any that you'd like to share?
Well, I didn't do no research. I just did them off the top of my head, unlike you. I don't know who might have slammed in them. So, I think that, I don't really know if Coming to America got good or bad reviews. But it's one of all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my sibling, they liked The Goonies. And I'm pretty sure nobody really cared about The Goonies when it came out. But I thoroughly enjoyed Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't think of the name of it. What's the one with the baseball, the golden fence, and they scared of that dog?
Oh, Lord. Sandlot.
Sandlot. Boy, that film. Of course, again, those are super old, and I don't know what the right reviews were.
Right.
But I can still watch those today and be like, oh, this is a solid movie. I don't think that Brown Sugar was a
good one. It was a good movie. But, a very good movie. That was definitely a misunderstood movie. I think people missed the whole point of it.
Right. She was in love with hip-hop.
Yeah,
I think they might have missed that one. I wasn't sure. I feel like Love and Basketball got its due when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
To some more recent ones, though, I would say The Avengers. So, you know, because all these new, like the new ones are on the top of your brain and you waiting for the next one, I don't think The Avengers, like, it was well done. Like, I can still watch it. Even though I know what's going to happen.
Right.
He did a good job of bringing the characters together with, you know, they was button heads, but then they worked together. Because some of them getting to be too much. Civil War and stuff, I'm getting to be wore out a little bit. I don't know what's going to happen in Infinity. I'm tired. I am. That was supposed to take place in Wakanda. Well, a lot of it will, but I'm tired. How was Bad Boys received? Did they get their due? I think the second one might have got more than the first.
The second one was, that's one of the rare cases where the next version of it was better received than the original. The second one was probably the best one.
Yeah, no doubt.
And
I'll say this for a newer movie that later on people, if they actually look at it, be like, oh, it's way better than I thought. Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yes.
Because looking at that trailer, I was like, that's going to be the worst movie ever.
Yeah, that's one
and
of the.
And then I watched it, and I was like, this is nothing like I thought it would be.
That's one of those movies, it don't happen often, because usually the trailer shows everything in some movies, and that's one of the movies where it really did the movie a disservice.
Disservice, yes. I was like, this ain't nothing like I thought it was going to be. Now, since your intelligence, I don't know. The Rock and Kevin Hart, don't know what that mess was. Oh, I'm not adding them to the list. I'm just
trying. Oh, no, I know. I understand.
So, I don't know. I think we talked about poetic justice.
Yes. That'll be a good one.
Hold on. Jason's lyric.
Oh, another good one.
I want to be the funk in your right thigh and the something in your left thigh. So what movie was that?
Oh my God. I can see him. I can't place him.
Anyway, that movie was good, and I'm pretty sure that it didn't get its due.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it was a good movie. But, Pulp Fiction got all this cred. Did you make it to see the Black Panther?
I have not.
All audience, y'all hear this, don't you? Don't try to cut this out, Brian. Audience, y'all hear this. What did Brian tell us last week?
No, wait, pause. Brian said 2 weeks ago. He didn't say anything about guaranteeing last week.
That's still the same difference. You still let us down.
Yes. I have not been able to get there.
What is your problem, Brian? You the one ticket that would have pushed up over the... What was this... One that got Pineapple Moon. What was this one that took first place this weekend? Oh, you're the reason we didn't make it.
Oh, you're going to put me on it.
It's all your fault that Panther didn't stay in the number one spot. Let it go.
You're right, because movie tickets do cost about $1 million now.
you can come up with a couple of million.
Yes, I promise to try to get there this
week.
Don't
listen to them, people.
I don't have as much going on this week, so it's probably going to be a possibility.
So, you see these possibilities? You the reason that we didn't get over Pacific Rim Rising. I don't even know what that is.
I have to, not just Black Panther, I also need to look at, I've never seen any of the Guardians of the Galaxies.
Oh, Lord have mercy. You need to see those, because they all,
yes, if they're going to all be in the Infinity War.
They're about to be in Infinity Wars.
Right. I need to know who those characters are. I mean, I have an idea of who they are, but...
It ain't going to matter, because if it's taking as long as you are to see Black Panther, by the time Infinity Wars you see it, you'll have plenty of time. Don't worry. Don't sweat it.
But moving from movies to TV, just not for any type of discussion, just kind of let people know.
I can't tell you nothing about Empire. Go ahead.
People, Empire returns this week. So get out there and look at, you know, on demands and get those first 9 episodes. Get yourself caught up. Season 4 hiatus returns this week. A couple of notes that I've read online. Alfred Woodard is going to join the cast to play Cookie's mom, who we've not seen. I don't even think we've seen any flashbacks. I know we've seen her daddy.
You seen her sister?
Yeah, we've not seen her in any flashbacks, so that'll be interesting. Forrest Whitaker's character Eddie Barker looking to possibly take over Empire. He found out in the last episode right at the end that basically he had lost everything he had money wise on some bad investments. He got involved with somebody who basically went bankrupt, and so now he's looking probably to try and take a bigger role and maybe even take over Empire. So it looks like he's going to be a nemesis when he was a helpful person this last part of season 4, tongue-tied, excuse me. We need to find out where Demi Moore, Nurse Claudia, has taken Lucius. She kidnapped him at the end of the last episode, so see where he's gone. And Howard Lion Boy is dealing with everything that the Dubois family did to them. I don't know this, you know, to be the case, but I hope that Felicia Rashad returns for some of this last part of season 4.
Well, she got to, don't she?
I don't know that she really, truly has to.
She don't need to.
Right, because they pretty much shut down her whole plan, except for, like, they shut her down, but the plan had already kind of taken its effect. Like, it's like the virus had already started spreading. I mean, they shut it down. They shut her down, you know, but it's already, you know, the boys are already feeling their their problems that she's caused them. So, you know, Andre had a nervous breakdown. Jamal, you know, trying to get back on the pill. And I think he pretty much killed Taye Diggs in the last episode. Excuse me. And Hakeem, even though he's gotten his daughter back, there's going to be some ramifications from that, I'm sure.
I wonder who baby they got. Do they show the baby ever though? Because they're going to be talking about the baby and we don't see it.
I don't know. But no.
I thought you was watching it. You ain't never seen them show the baby?
Yeah. I don't know who baby that is though.
Oh, well, yeah, I figured that.
But I will say this, except for the first season, season four has been the next best season.
I might try to look at
it. Because I know people have kind of turned off after season two and three. So I will say that.
Amen.
But before this coughing fit comes after me, I'm going to shut this thing down. So, as always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
Keep Hope Alive, David.
And this has been the Mac and T Show Podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.